Where does salsa, sharpie dancing, whirling dervishes and a pagan goat festival come together? In my next guest's life, Jane Cornwell is a music journalist, critic, writer, wanderer. And as you'll hear, her story begins in the Melbourne burbs, where I'm wondering if she ever could have imagined the adventures that life would take her on, lured by a love of music, a love of men too. As you'll hear, her new memoir is called The Whirl, Men, Music and Misadventures, and she joined me on the line from London just a little earlier.
Hello, Natasha, how are you?
The misadventures, the men and the music. I mean, you know, what a life. You know, interestingly, Kathy Lett describes this story that you tell as voyeuristic bliss and a risque romp. And I think, like Kathy Lett, very few women put their sexual adventures out there as writers.
To be honest, I don't even know how sexual this is. I mean, I think these are a series of vignettes about men. So it's 18 chapters each with a man's name and a song title, and they're like portals to other worlds, really. You know, I think the sexy thing is slightly a bit of a misnomer. You know, there is some sex in certain chapters, but
really, the men that you meet along the way are a lens into the culture that you're landing in, the music genre that you're embracing in that chapter.
Sure, and I trained as an anthropologist before I became a journalist, so I'm always very interested in ritual and subculture. So we go from the acid house scene in the 80s, you know, in London, the club scene, which is a subculture in itself, to Santeria, which is the Afro-Cuban religion that I did a ritual into, to all sorts of things. And I mean, everything is a subculture, and everything, you know, I like to think that everybody's life is soundtracked by music. This is what people can really relate to, and certainly when I've put a song title at the top of a chapter, I think that really helps people relate, you know, because it could be something like You Shook Me All Night Long, or, you know, all these different things that you know, not too obscure, really.
So take us back to your own exotic beginnings.
My exotic beginnings in Moorabbin?
Yeah, suburban Melbourne.
Describe your
childhood, but also the early musical encounters that really left an imprint on you. There was one in suburban Moorabbin that just blew you away.
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, I was the eldest, so I didn't have older brothers and sisters to point me in the direction of, you know, Captain Beefheart or Tim Buckley or anything like that. You know, this is in the 70s. I was just a curious kid that I would go down and to Eastland, which was the shopping centre, each Friday, and I would find some music for myself with my allowance. I would buy a cassette. So I would just flick through and choose things at random from Brash's record store, and I got everything from Tangerine Dream to Phoebe Snow and Keith Jarrett, you know, the jazz pianist. So really random choices for a young kid. But one day, because I grew up on riding horses and imagining, you know, travelling all over the world, and as I was going up the firebreak of Mount Dandenong, you know, on the back of my horse.
Yeah.
But one day in Brash's, I was flicking through and I found an album called Horses. With a picture of this dark-haired woman on the front with a, you know, flyaway collar, white shirt and a black blazer over her shoulder and a kind of, yeah, what of it, look on her face.
Yeah.
And I just took it home and played it, and of course it was Patti Smith.
The great Patti Smith. And that album was just...
It was just astounding.
Astounding. Yeah,
really, really amazing. And of course I didn't understand the lyrics. You know, I didn't know that Rambo wasn't R-A-M-B-O, it was the poet, you know, Rimbaud and all this kind of stuff, and that some of the lyrics were about addiction and, you know, but I would play this album over and over about, you know, white shining silver horses with their tails in flames and imagine them coming down the mountain, and it really, really took me away. And as I got older, I ended up having a tattoo of a silver horse with its tail in flames and on my back, and not very well done, but, you know.
And it's interesting, her album Horses is now 40 years.
That's right.
This year. And yeah, so describe, because what followed in your life after your anthropology degree was a life of adventure. What wild horses did Patti unleash in you?
I wonder.
Just
if,
to
you
be
know,
cliched.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's sort of 20/20 hindsight. And I don't, you know. Well, I worked at The Last Laugh. I was at university, and I worked at a comedy venue in inner city Melbourne called The Last Laugh, which many people will remember. It was the place to be, really, in inner city Melbourne in the 80s. And I met a stand-up comedian, and just decided on a whim, really, after a few weeks ex-romance to go and live with him in London. So it was just that thing of wanting adventure, yeah. I think.
He was a character. I mean, he was only 27 yeah. And yet he wanted to be dead by the time
He decided he was going to be dead by the time he was 30. He was sort of, he was a guy who loved Hemingway and Kerouac and all that sort of boy's own adventure stuff, well, with a kind of death wish, really. An adrenaline junkie, I guess, you know, and his whole kind of stand-up comedy was based on being an adrenaline junkie. He's still around, of course, you know. I saw him from a distance at Notting Hill Carnival and, you know, saw that he's got grown fat and, you know, still alive.
His death mission didn't come to fruition. So he's the beginning, really, of this adventure.
I decided I would write a chapter about me, you know, my background, and then really the springboard was meeting this comic and heading off to London. So then when we broke up, I had to try and decide what I was going to do. I went off to Jamaica to make that decision and then stayed and got a job at the Institute of Contemporary Arts in central London and then became a music writer and got a job working with world music.
Well, you've been reporting on some of the greats and throughout this whole memoir, just in between meeting, you know, everyday men and having flings with them in extraordinary locations, you're interviewing some real star characters like Cher and David Lynch and Axl Rose. But tell us about Achilles. Let's start this adventure beyond London, beyond Muralbark. Achilles is, you meet him on a remote island off Greece, and what are you there for?
I went to cover the Goat Festival, which is I went really for a holiday to Skyros, which is the island, and it's the sort of New Age centre. They have various drama courses and this and that, but at this time I went while the Goat Festival was on, and this is a very bacchanalian pagan festival that goes way back into sort of the mists of time, and it's about men dressing up as goats, basically. So they would wear the skin or the carcasses of kids, you know, baby goats, and they cover themselves in bells, and it's a ritual. It's all about chanting and jumping with the bells and basically getting as drunk as possible, because there's a sort of philosophy that this will bring you closer to God. You know, the drunker you get, the closer you get to the heavens, basically.
And Achilles was something of a...
And he was extremely good-looking young barman, yes, whose name was indeed Achilles. And, all these names have changed, but it was something like that. It was something as...
Mythological.
Indeed, yeah. He was just a sweetie, really. But unfortunately, you know, I got into a situation at that time, you know, with another of the women there, so I ended up being in kind of competition with him. So I write about being in competition for him, rather, with this other woman, and I sort of put it as Helen of Troy, and you know,
the things we do.
we're kind of in competition, basically, and that did happen. I mean, often I will veer off into fiction with various things, but the bare bones are kind of true. But you know, it's quite a spectacle when you've got the whole community dressed up as goats, and it goes for a week, and it's a bit like the Wicker Man. You know, you expect to see Edward Woodward trapped in a giant burning effigy or something at some point. You know,
Jane Cornwell is with us. She's a music writer and critic. She started life in Muralbark in suburban Melbourne. She's since travelled the world, reporting, living, loving music in every context and culture. Her new memoir is called The Whirl: Men, Music and Misadventures. And it's interesting that you do have an anthropology degree, because this kind of interconnection between world music and ritual and spirituality is a very powerful interest of yours. So take us to Turkey. And to those whirling dervishes.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting one. Certainly, because I think, given the current climate, I mean, you know, because there are serious elements, obviously, to this book, and I think that what is overlooked is Sufism is a branch of Islam that's very, very peace-loving and celebrates art and dance and music and painting. And I mean, I go to Morocco as well, so I go to the Essaouira Festival, where there's the Ganawa musicians, and they're one form of Sufis, and then we back in Turkey, the whirling dervishes is another branch of Sufi Islam, basically. Mm. So everyone will know they're seen a picture of the whirling dervishes, and there are these men, mainly men, that will dress in these conical hats and with capes, and they will assemble in these dervish lodges called tekkes, and they will start to whirl, and they will whirl with one arm facing down towards the ground, the other one arm facing up towards heaven, and it's all about the spiral and it's and the planets, and it's incredibly mystical, and it's very about connecting with yourself and connecting with God.
This incredible embodiment of something bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very beautiful and very mesmeric to watch. And I decided I wanted to try it myself.
Is that allowed?
But of course, no, it's not really. I mean, actually, there's a musician called Merchan Dede who is quite progressive from Istanbul. And he has a female whirling dervish. He's a club DJ as well, but he has a female whirling dervish who, when he's on, they'll turn the lights out and she whirls, and the bottom of her skirt lights up in neon. It looks incredible. Mm. But I was in a place called Konya, which is very conservative, so I just whirled in the privacy of my own hotel room. I found that very, very strengthening, basically.
It's not the first time.
Fell over, of course.
And of course you met Jean-Paul, and that, I thought that was incredibly fearless, just an encounter with a man in Turkey, as is not uncommon. But dance features in this book and in your life, because of course there's your relationship with Cuba and salsa, sexy salsa.
Well, yeah. I mean, I first actually went to Cuba when I was still living in Australia in about 1987, when there was no tourism. But
What captivated you about Cuba? So many people are drawn to Cuba, and of course, is on the cusp of massive change now. Obama.
I mean, that will be interesting
has,
to see whether it
opened up relations.
Take. Mm. Yeah, I don't think it will happen overnight, actually. But, what drew me to Cuba? Well, the music. I mean, I absolutely adore the music. I mean, if I was going to put on a CD, I would probably put on a Cuban CD, because I love rumba, I love, salsa, I love all the different forms of music that come out of there, and that it's just so rich. But the culture is incredible, and I think, I mean, it's a kind of a cliche, but, you know, the people there really do have absolutely nothing, but they are so upbeat and so good-natured, and... I've been there for Carnival, and it's just no one can party like the Cubans. It really is wonderful. And, of course, you know, with that combination of sun and dance and rum and gorgeous men and gorgeous, everybody's gorgeous, one thing leads to another, and then, ay caramba.
Yeah. And you write a lovely line in the memoir, maybe I'd lived my life in dance steps.
Well, that's right. I mean, when I was writing this, I remember... You know, my agent or publisher said, well, where's the arc? And I thought, you know, there's nothing so... I mean, I don't think any woman's life has a tidy arc. You know, that's just not how a lot of us live our lives these days. We keep making the same mistakes, and that's why I sort of talk about this thing of the spiral. I mean, in fact, that's why I called the book The Whirl, because we all bumble around trying to work out where we're going in our lives, and you know, we date the same kind of guys over and over, and then maybe finally we'll kind of go, oh, this isn't working. But you know, in my case, I had to be walloped over the head a few times before I kind of realized that this wasn't really good for me. But you know, and so in dance steps, I just thought that was a kind of nice analogy, because it is like a cha-cha, you know, where sort of we go forward, backward, sideways, you know, one step forward, two steps back, that kind of thing. I think that's common for most of us, really.
But what I get the sense of is that you're just incredibly open to experiences and to connecting with other people, and certainly not all of us have a fairly dandy chap waiting on a bridge in Paris for us.
Well, he's
Christophe, with his great
Christophe
sense of dress.
Yeah, I mean, he's a sapeur, Congolese sapeur, and the sapeurs of the Congo are these incredibly well-dressed, almost dandies, who kind of, well, not worship, but they really revere designer labels. So Yves Saint Laurent, Yohji Yamamoto, they will dress in the most incredible way, but they will meet in a tin shack next to a sewer, you know, to talk about getting the dimple in their cravat just right. But it is a real phenomenon. But, you know, their history is to sort of put two fingers up to Mobutu, who was into sort of making everyone wear a uniform and, you know, the dictator. And there's just lots of history, and I'm just so interested in all this stuff. And, I mean, this is a guy who is a sapeur, who dresses beautifully, but he's also a refugee. And I really wanted to look at the other side of Paris, the African Paris, yeah. where there are people there that have got there through incredible hardship and that aren't really seen. You know, these are the guys you would walk straight past maybe when you're off to the Champs-Élysées or, you know, whatever. But they all have stories, and certainly with Christophe, he'd come from the Congo, which is riven with strife and war and all sorts, and was really struggling. The clothes he wore gave him a kind of outlet and made him feel, gave him a sense of pride. Yes. You know? And he was, yeah, he would meet me on the Pont des Arts, which is this wooden bridge that people must know with the little locks, you know, that the lovers put on there, and he would always bring me a little gift, and he's still a friend, you know, but I would text him and he would just never text me back, you know, but when I would say I'm coming to Paris, he would meet me on the bridge, so it became a little ritual itself.
It's 25 or more years now since you left Australia. Do you still feel a connection to that mural bark girl, the you know, breaking into the occasional Sharpie dance, perhaps?
Yeah. Not the occasional Sharpie dance. No, look, I have the same group of friends. Well, I could. I have the same group of friends that I've always had, you know, from school. I go back to Australia every year for WOM Adelaide. I do a bit of work for Peter Gabriel and go down for WOMAD and stuff. And, you know, my mum's out in Montrose. My brother is in Montrose. My sister's in Olinda. And I love nothing more than going down to Chirnside Park and hanging out. And I get my hair done at the local salon in Moorabbin. And, love it.
It's a great life in music. Jane Cornwell, thank you so much for joining us on Life Matters.
My pleasure.
And taking us on that whirl. Terrific to have you on.
Thank you.
Jane Cornwell.
Suddenly, Johnny gets a feeling he's been surrounded by...
Yes, we can't help but get a bit more Patti Smith in. That's where it all started for Jane. Her book, The Whirl, Men, Music and Misadventures. It's published by HarperCollins. Did it start for you with Patti Smith? I want to know.